time I hear that song, I'm reminded of the one who wrote it, simply because not only was he a local man, but because of he was a scientist. Science, true science, does believe in God. Of course, y'all know, I guess as well as I do by now, the man that wrote that was chairman of the Department of Physics at Tennessee Tech University, possibly when he wrote it. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if it was after he left here or while he was here, but that just shows you that people that are true scientists understand and know that there is a God. Brother David and Lisa are at West End tonight. That's the reason they're not with us. He's giving his annual reports to the churches, at the main ones that support the college. Last week he was at Mount Gilead in Tompkinsville, and tonight he's at West End. And certainly we miss him when he's not here, but understand the duty that's required of him as president to do that. Tonight, I'm reminded, as I talk about this lesson tonight, of a man that went to church at Double Springs when I was preaching down there. And the reason I thought of that was because after Brother Lemons preached there, he followed me, and then Kerry Duke followed him. And Kerry got to laughing about this man. He didn't know that he had done the same thing to me. But he said when he'd come out every week after his sermon, he'd say, "Brother Kerry, you had a nice little talk today." He said he never did say anything about it being a good sermon. He said, "You had a nice little talk today." I told him, I said, that's what he's always said. Well, tonight I want to have a nice little talk with you. Instead of told Mike, I said, we're doing this the old-fashioned way. We're not using the keynote tonight. Just want to think with you for a few things, make a few suggestions as we are soon to enter into the new year, the Lord willing. We've almost come to the end of this 2019. If I counted right, about 9 days left. And a new year is the beginning of a whole new chapter in our lives, if you want to view it that way at least. When we close the last day of this year, again, I'm saying these things with the idea that if the Lord wills, if we are still alive, and if the world is still here, if the Lord has not returned, then when we close the chapter labeled 2019, we will look forward to the beginning of a new chapter, 2020. And I was thinking when I looked at that this afternoon, the sound of that sounds good, doesn't it? We have 2020 vision. That's usually excellent vision. So let's look at 2020 as a year that we're going to look forward to being very excellent for us. It's a time to change chapters in our lives, or will be, and it's also a good time for us to reflect, and not only that, but to anticipate. So I want us to do that for just a few moments tonight. Might cut it down to 15, I doubt that, but I wondered why, when Brother David said this morning, "Don't think we'll ever get down to 15 minutes here," he looked over at me for some strange reason. But tonight I want us to just think about a few of these things. Take a moment to reflect. For most of this year has been a year, for most of us at least, and there's exceptions to that, but it's been a year for most of us that's not a whole lot unusual or any different from other years that we've lived. There have been times of gladness and times of sadness in most of us' lives this year. And I hope there's been more gladness than sadness. There's been times of ease and times of struggle. And again, I hope that most of it has been more ease than struggle for us. There have been times of victory, and there have been times of setback, And again, I hope for all of us it's been more victory than setback. However, for others, 2019 has been a year to remember. And that's for various reasons. It may be because of a major loss or a significant victory in your life. And we realize that some of our members have faced that. We lost Carlene Fye in February of this year. We lost Mildred Brown in September and Ken Buckner in October. So death has hit our congregation, but I don't remember any year that it hadn't. And so all I'm saying is that for these people that's involved in that, it's going to be a year that they'll always remember. In addition, some of our members have lost other members of their families. Quite recently, Brother Mark has lost three members of his family in about 4 or 5 week period. Latest one being his aunt that was buried yesterday, I believe. And I was thinking about her because the first real job, if you call it that, that I had, other than as a young man, I caddied when I was in probably the fourth or fifth grade, mowed yards some, picked berries some. But when I was in the seventh grade, got out of the seventh grade, I went to work for Fred Farris, who was Maudie's husband, and worked for him for 2 years. He drove a Pepsi Cola truck. And every time I saw him, he would remind me or ask me when I'd had any pickled bologna, because he fed me every day. And a lot of times out in those country stores, we'd have pickled bologna. And so I think about as much of Fred as anybody I know, and always thought an awful lot of him. So others have been touched with the death as well. Troy's mom died just recently as well. So for them, it's been more of a year to remember, I guess, than it has for some of the rest of us. When we reflect upon 2019, whether this has been a good year or whether this has been a year of feast or famine, we still need to remember that the Lord has been our shepherd. He promised that he would be our shepherd. We memorize the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so when we reflect upon 2019, our hearts should be filled with gratitude for the Lord's blessing. Now, I could stand up here, I think, and talk for the rest of the time on the blessings that we should be thankful for. But I just want to read a few verses of Scripture to get you thinking in that way and to make you thankful for what the Bible teaches that we have. First one comes from Psalm 55 and verse 22. And I'm reading all these from the first two from the New King James Version. The last one will be from the King James. A psalmist wrote, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Just think about it. He said, cast your burden, cast your worry, your cares. Brother Cliff Goodwin was on television this morning preaching the gospel, I believe is the name of his program. And I got acquainted with Cliff and the lectureships at New Hampshire this year, and thought he really liked him. He's a fantastic young man. And he was talking about this morning, his subject was "Don't Worry, Do Not Worry." And here's one reason we shouldn't be worrying. He said, cast your burden on the Lord. He'll sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. What does that mean? Well, that means if I get separated from God, separated from the Lord, I'm the one moved. He did. And, of course, he's going to protect us. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily, now notice the word daily, loads us with benefits. The Lord, the God of our salvation. You ever thought about that passage of Scripture? He loads us daily with benefits. I don't know about you, but the idea of a load sounds like a whole lot, doesn't it? He loads us daily with benefits. And then in Psalm 65 and verse 5, he said, "By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas." He says, you are our confidence. Then I want to finish with Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21, where Paul writes, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Notice again the closing words of that this reading. "Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And then notice what led me into these reading these scriptures was a statement that I said we need, as we reflect upon 2019, our heart should be filled with gratitude for the Lord's blessings. And while we're talking about a grateful heart, isn't that the best way that you can possibly end 2019? With a grateful heart. Now I want you to take a moment to anticipate. If the Lord holds off, neglects, or if the Lord delays his coming, but I don't like to talk about the Lord delaying anything, because that sounds like if he's delaying it, then he's not doing it on schedule like he planned. And I know that's not true. And so I didn't know what word hardly to use. But so we just plain old say, if the Lord doesn't return, let's put it that way. If the Lord doesn't return beforehand, we will soon be blessed with a whole new, clean chapter in our lives. What will the new year bring? And none of us knows that. We do know that we're living in a world that is in turmoil. We're living in a world that we could say we're spending troubled times. We're living in troubled times. We're living in an age when crime seems to be, and I don't think I'm wrong, it just seems to me like we have a serious rise in crime, and not just petty stuff like sometimes we hear about, but major crimes just all the time going on. The thinking of our nation, the thinking of our people has gone through the roof, and common sense has just about completely left. And so we don't know what we're going to face in the year ahead. But experience tells us that there will be times of gladness and times of sadness, just like there was this year. That there will be times of ease and times of struggle. And that there will be times of victory and times of setback. As we look to the 2020, we might anticipate and ask the question, will 2020 be one of those years to remember for us personally? And again, we do not know. Will the Lord be our shepherd in 2020? That we know. That we can know. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and we can put our complete trust in him. Anticipating 2020 should fill our hearts with what we're talking about on the other point, should fill our hearts with gratitude for the Lord's presence. He said in Matthew 28 and verse 20, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. And we should be grateful for his provisions. Just to name one, Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, those who are the called according to his promise. For his protection, Romans 8, verses 31 beginning, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul writes, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or we should be thankful, we should also be thankful for all the marvelous promises that he's given us. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, Peter speaks of the exceeding great and precious promises of God. And I don't know, I think if I could have a discussion like we do on Wednesday night, we could probably list a whole bunch of those. I just jotted down just four of what I consider major promises of his. And that's just, that's not even beginning to touch the hem of the garment of all the blessings he provides us with. For instance, in Hebrews 13 and 4, he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. As I mentioned earlier, if you're ever separated from God, it'll be because you left. If you're ever farther away from God, it'll be because you moved. Your faith don't grow stronger by leaving God. It grows weaker or is destroyed. And so we've got that promise. In 1 John 5 and verse 14, he's promised to hear and answer our prayers. What greater promise could you want than that? In 1 Corinthians 10, 13, he's promised to help us with our temptations and trials. Now, he doesn't promise we won't have them, but he says, I'll be there and provide a way of escape for you so that you don't have to fall. You don't have to become victim to those temptations. 1 John 1 and verse 7, he's promised us continual cleansing from our sins as long as we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, you can go on and list many, many other blessings. We've preached lessons before on this, and there's untold numbers that we could come up with, and then you still wouldn't have them all listed. Because remember those daily blessings he loads us with? Those promises he daily blesses us with as well. Now, we said a while ago in the first point that a grateful heart ought to be the way that we end 2019. That'd be the best way to end it. We've just ended this point by saying that as we anticipate the new year, it should fill our hearts with gratitude for the Lord's presence, his provision, his protection, and his marvelous promises. And so I make this point, a grateful heart. What better way to begin a new year? What better way to end the old year? What better way to begin a new year? Now then, one other point. Take a moment to inventory and also to plan. I'm going to ask you some questions, not for you to answer out loud, but to contemplate. Can you remember back to the beginning of last year? Did you make any plans for the new year? Now, we make plans fit both physical and spiritual. I'm not concerned with your physical plans, as long as they're not going to interfere with your serving God. But what kind of spiritual plans did you make last year? I've got a feeling that just about everybody made some. What kind of spiritual plans did you make? What goals have you set for 2020? Somebody said, well, we've got 9 days to work on that. Yeah, that's right. That's the reason I want to bring this lesson a little early this time. I preached similar lessons like this before. But what goals are you setting? I'm going to mention some suggestions here in a few minutes. What challenges are before you? And yes, some of us face more challenges than others. It may be physical challenges, may even be spiritual challenges. So what challenges do you face, and what changes do you want to make? Anything about your life you'd like to change? Anything that you need to do better in? Anything you need to correct? Anything, just what changes do you want to make? The blessings, the goals, the challenges, the changes, we need to accept them with a, now watch the word, with a grateful heart. Because the Lord is still my shepherd. Now I want to give you some suggestions. One of them I gave Wednesday night. So those of you here Wednesday night, you can just tone out for a little bit or maybe listen again. But I suggested this to my class Wednesday night. Usually we encourage people to read the Bible every day, and that certainly we do that. Even if it's middle of the year, you ought to start doing that if you hadn't been doing it. But I mentioned the other night, now if you've never read the Bible through in a year's time or never read the Bible through and you want to do that, then certainly go to it. I think we all ought to read the Bible, all of it. But I suggested this Wednesday night. I want to repeat this, and I want to challenge you to do this, not for me, but for you. Instead of reading the Bible through, if you've done it before, instead of doing that again this year, I would suggest that you pick out a New Testament book. You pick an Old Testament, but I think New Testament one we need to concentrate most of our time in. But you can pick out a New Testament book, one that you want to study, and set you aside a period each day. I'd suggest 30 minutes to an hour at least, if you've got that time, can make that time, and you certainly ought to be able to make some time for the Lord, shouldn't you? And so set aside a day to study each day. Get you a notebook and take the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1, write down what he tells us. I don't mean quote the verse again, but what's he saying to you? What's he saying? Very few words probably would do that. And I suggested that if you have any problems, do that and look at it and try to pull everything you can out of it. Then if you still have problems, then you can get you a commentary and look at it. But remember, I don't care who even Guy in Woods, whom I would trust just about anything Guy in Woods said, but he's still a man. So anytime you read a commentary, you're reading a man's comments. You got to remember that. But if you'll do that and then get you a commentary to look with it, and then if he says something you don't understand, look at it, read it, and study it again. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll do that, by this time next year, if you're still living, you will have gained a lot more from that book than you ever did before. I challenge you to do that. Prove me wrong if you think you can, or prove me right, I would prefer. Secondly, I'd suggest, and we do this every year, set aside a time each day to pray. You can pray many times during the day if you want to, but you should never go through a day without praying to God. And I think, just an opinion, I think the best way to do that is set aside a time each day to do that. After all, that's what Daniel did, wasn't it? That's what got him in trouble. That's what got him cast into the lion's den, because when they forbid them to call on anyone except the king for a period of time, or they'd be cast into the den of lions. You remember it said that just as his custom was, I believe he went three times a day, didn't he? Am I remembering that right? I think he went three times a day into his room and prayed just like he'd been doing. So he had it set out, a custom like that. And so I'd suggest that you do that. There's nothing better than prayer that you can do to make you place your trust in God and cause you to have confidence in him, and then see the results that come from that. And then thirdly, attend every service of the church that you can. Bible studies, worship services, the fellowship of fellow Christians ought to make it easier for you to live the Christian life. And we ought to get together as often as we can. And by all means, put Jesus Christ first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. These things being what he just quoted, talked about, eating and raiment. And so by all means, put him first in your life. In keeping with David's lessons this month, let me also suggest that you be the very best you can be. The best example to others, go along with his lesson this morning. Be the very best you can be. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The old year ends, a new begins, with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page will now depend on you. You can't relive the year that's passed, erasing every wrong. For once a year, our day is spent. It is forever gone. But don't give up in dark despair if you have failed some test. Seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things shall still endure. You may not know where your path may lead or what's beyond the hill, but know that God walks at your side if you but do his will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can leave the rest to him. That's a poem called At Year's End. And I think it says a lot of what we've been trying to express tonight. Maybe you had decided in 2019 to become a Christian. Maybe you decided at the first of the year that you was going to be more faithful in his service. Maybe you had something in your life that you needed to repent of, and you intended to make those corrections. But for some reason or other, the times have passed and you hadn't done those things. Why not now? When we sing that song, why not now? That's all the time you have. Even as we have mentioned in the lesson already, we're talking about anticipating 2020, but we don't know for sure if any of us will get to 2020. We don't know even if the world stands, some of us could go. You know, we lose folks suddenly. Sometimes it seems like every year we lose someone that we hadn't anticipated losing that year. And so I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying we need to face facts. And we need to live in such a way that if Christ returned now, we wouldn't care. Or if Christ returned any time in the near future, we wouldn't care. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, why not become one? I don't know anything to say to encourage you that we haven't said. When you consider all that God does for the Christian, when you consider all the spiritual blessings that are available in his Son, and especially forget those great blessings we've already mentioned, but just that spiritual blessing of salvation and life eternal ought to cause us to want to be a Christian and to live as best we could. Maybe you've wandered astray and need to come back home. You're among friends. You're among those that love you and would enjoy nothing more than to see you do whatever you need to do to make things right if you're here and need to do that. If not, and if everybody's doing great, then we can rejoice in that. I have no problem with that either. But if you're subject to his invitation anyway, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.